We have a responsibility tonight. My wife is not quite as beautiful as you. I have a great deal of confidence in the power of God. He helps people to do things that are hard to do, especially when they have responsibilities. I hope you listen carefully to these responsibilities. I have learned a great deal of you. One thing that I love to do very much, I love to try to reserve my voice for this moment. I am pleasantly surprised to speak with me here, out there, and I trust that you have come to hear that. The Word of God for life. Spend your life up now. I guess it was, according to my notes, on the 10th of March, I found myself, as I often do, driving to or from work. Probably about 50 or 30. Yeah, and, most of the time, it's my congregation too. We drive along and something will come to my mind. There I am standing in front of my congregation and I know what I'm going to say. As I was driving along that day, I had a verse on my heart. Didn't know that I'd have the opportunity. Little over there, I got a call. I didn't know what to do. I believe that God moves in ways that I don't understand. He prepares them. He prepares people. I listen to the sermon. I get some of the clues I can. I'm very thankful to be here. I'd like to start tonight with a text in the 4th chapter of Ephesians. And I encourage you to follow along if you have your book. Because when I get done, I don't want you to think that you were doing me, that you're giving me this feeling, this thought. Like you read it, you have the Word of God. And consider it. We find here, I do have to go to the way. If I have to stop them, that would be disgusting. It's so I can continue talking. In the 4th chapter of Ephesians, we find in verse 11, it says, and he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, that we all come in the unity of the faith, and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, and to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait. But speaking the truth in love, they grow up into him in all things which are ahead, even Christ. You know, he gave the people a responsibility. Personally, for protecting the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying. And he said to me, we're going to meet these people, and we all came and begin to be the government. And we don't need to speak the truth in that. Doesn't do us any good to talk if we don't speak truth. I desire to speak truth. I desire to be frank. I'm going to begin in verse 14. It says, and unto the angel of the church, and the veil of this kingdom is mine. You know, I meant that wrong. To the angel of the church of Christ, 1996. The word of God to you today. These things say at the Amen, the faithful and true witness to begin with the creation of God. I know thy word. Thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou art cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Does thou say it? I am rich. Will increase the good and have me need nothing. I'm going to stop right there. Brings a lot of questions to my mind. What does it all mean? What are you talking about? I do desire to be specific tonight. Because I feel that this is what the Lord has given me to do and to be. I often ask myself, what do we want? Well, it's not hot. Not cold. It's heavy. What kind of religion? He kind of gives us a clue. In the 17th verse, in the very first part, it says, because thou sayest, I am rich in the grace of good, and have need of nothing. I find in the day of evil, most of us, in the church of Christ today, I don't want to pay today, do you? You got to go out and scrape around for enough food to buy for today? Is it America today? No, you don't. I don't. It's easy to get settled in, comfortable. It's easy to depend on all the good things in life we've been given. It's easy to depend on. You don't really need it. You don't have need of anything. These are the words for comfort. What is this one? I believe something this one we're talking about here has to do with our attitude. Our attitude toward everything in life. And it didn't tell us just exactly why he would rather that you weren't that way. He'd rather you were cold. Absolutely cold. My father's asking, you know, why does he want to be, at least, you know, on the threshold for us to get there? Why would he rather that you were one of the other? Well, we're going to answer those questions tonight. To find one of the attitudes. We want to identify what we need. In the scripture, I'd like to read to this point, not that I read it yet, but to continue. found in the third chapter, the whole place, we're going to come back to this eventually. In the third chapter of 2 Timothy, this by no means should be unfamiliar to you or I. First verse, didn't know also when in the last day perilous times will come. What does that mean? What does that say to you? Is there any importance there? Perilous times? You know what it's perilous? The danger. There was a sign put up. Both of you that know how to read, you were walking in the area and you saw a sign that said danger. You probably read what was underneath it. So you know what to look out for. The good Lord made sure that we have a list of things to look out for. For men to be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth-breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despising to those that are evil. Traitors, heads, idolaters, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power of those who accept the Lord. He gave us the warning. What all form is this word to be? You know, whoever translated the King James text, that particular word there had a significance, but you couldn't get them used to this phrase. You and I live in a time that our strength is there. We're not told, we're in use. Our strength. We find ourselves, yeah, some of us, being lovers of our own self. We justify the things that we do. We are right. No one has the right to tell us otherwise. And we have a lot of reasons why we do this. I find an attitude that we want to feel comfortable. Comfortable with no action. We're secure. There's all kinds of security in the world today. Is that an insurance? I don't want to be secure. I find it that we want to be greater. All through the scriptures, I never leave this today. When the Lord tells us one thing, there's no doing that. The Word of God, the lamb unto our feet is the light. We have gray areas. I'd like to talk about some of those gray areas. I'd like to talk about a vision. You know, if you look in the 1986, July issue of the 9th Advocate, all those of you that live here, right downstairs in the library, there was a man who had a vision. Church of Christ was constantly one. There's four words written at Crossroads, the very first one is talking about the new city. We don't want to decide what's right or wrong. Because if I step on somebody's shoes, and they step on mine, they step on yours. We parents, we let our kids do things. We don't want to decide. Maybe there's too much gray here. And yet the Word of God, plain as day, oftentimes, you know, in our youth camp, we talk to our young people about making decisions. How to make decisions about what's right and wrong. Well, I can tell you what a difficult task it was. And I don't tell them what conclusion, because the parents don't know these decisions either. We aren't making it for our people. We aren't validated. Absolutely wrong. We're mixing the race. In the black church, we find in the Book of Mormon, we read it. So page 764. You and I are called to get it right and wrong. And there's a warning that goes with that call. He's warning. And it's not from me. I'm just a messenger today, like a boat. But I find this is an area where we need church. We want to come to higher ground. If you would listen to this sermon, you felt the spirit that was here during our conference. You listened to the brother that stood up in our song and said, "You know, the Lord would love to give us all these things, but I'm just as guilty as you are. He can just say these things now, but he's really like we are." We find here starting in verse 9. "But he holds a bitter fountain, cannot bring forth good water." That's page 764. "Wherefore, man being a servant of the devil cannot follow Christ, if he follows Christ, he cannot be a servant of the devil. Wherefore, all things which are good cometh of God, and that which is evil cometh of the devil. For the devil is an enemy unto God, and fighteth against him continually, and inviteth and enticeth to sin, and to do that which is evil continually." That's very hard to understand. Something's inviting and enticing you to do what's wrong. You need to do it. "But behold, that which is of God invited and enticing to do good continually. Wherefore, everything which invites and entices you good is to love God and to serve Him and inspire God. Wherefore, take heed, my beloved brother, that you do not judge that which is evil to be of God, or that which is good of God to be of the devil. For behold, my brother, it is good unto you to judge, that you may know good from evil. And the way to judge is as plain as you may know it in perfect knowledge." Catch this last part. This is the course of it. "As the daylight is for the dark, there's no similarity." You know, we have a race up by Hebrew as well. And it is a new moon. It's black. It's black. But God's not. He says it's easy. Yet how many of us can be difficult? To make it difficult for our kids. You know, the other one of the words that was in that crossroads is confusion. Our kids aren't hearing it from us. We don't want to take a stand if they're right or wrong. No matter what we do in our life. I don't care whether it's what you watch on TV or movies or listen on the radio. Whether you make the decision as a parent that your kids go to a concert. I don't care what it is. You have to make a decision for your children. For the church of Christ. For what you are. As a child of Christ, you are his as God. And we oftentimes shrink from that duty. I don't know how many times I've said on this to somebody, and I'm going to be somewhat specific because I feel I need to be. I feel it because I lived through that first church. I'm going to speak the truth to us. And I love you. I'm concerned for you. I'm concerned for me. And I talk to myself tonight. I thank God he talks to us. I have to be reminded. You spend your whole life on TV. Something questionable comes on. What do you do? What do you do? You watch it and someone asks you, "How was it? Do you ever have to whisper and say good? Or do you have to say, well, there's a few parts you've got to skip through real quick?" We need a great area in for our people. For you to our kids. It's such grace. Such grace because we're born in this new form. It's not in the speech. There's no grace. There's lines as well. If you've got a problem, or if you don't think there's something wrong with your kids going to a rock concert, then you need to attend one with them. You need to see what goes on there. So you can walk out of there having made a firm decision. It's not you. The things that are there, they invite and they invite. On that perilous time in the warning of God, be careful in order to increase your strength. Be You won't be where you need to be. I found the other day, March 15th, and they didn't say, isn't anything holy anymore? I'm already home soon. I watched a little movie. First time I've seen it. Great to be. Hold on. I heard a little girl who wants to see it before I had it. I didn't know what she was talking about. Oh, when I get to know the middle of the movie, I find out what she's talking about. She's talking about how Pocahontas was formed by Mother Willow Spirit. So listen to the Spirit of Wisdom, the wife, the rest of the world. We don't need much to do. It does to me because I spent days trying to convince some of the Native American tribes that there's only one person who listens to through God. Just let something else teach my little girl something opposite of the precious truth that is found in Jesus Christ. I listened to the wind all day today and I heard nothing. All I found is that in the scripture, Satan's always, the Lord's always warned us, don't let him blow you around like a wind. You can't be too careful. I had to make a judgment as I stood before Christ right there. If he asked me, is it good? What could he say? Pray Jesus, Lord. I mean, come on, it's just a little kid. He ain't able to understand. We were told by faith that we have to make a decision. And we have lack in our decision making. It has confused our children. I hear it every time I go to a youth camp and a youth board. Our children are confused. Because we hear one thing, and we talk one thing, and we do another. We have the need to repent. We have the need to take these things in concern in our own lives. There's an attitude of lukewarmness that has to do with, I'm so lost. He talked about it there at first thing, you know, we learned it on ourselves. It's here, it's in the Church of Christ. I had a lesson to learn. I tell you, I think that having an opportunity to serve as a pastor at Louisville, I fear that responsibility. I stay away from it for quite some time. I understand that today, why? I fear that. It's not always enjoyable. But I've learned some things. I had experience once about being married. Something like that. And many times I felt I knew what was right. I told you I went to state. First time I went down to Mexico, to Yucatan to visit my brothers and sisters there, I had an opportunity. In the little town of Yobani. There was going to be a song service there that night. I met Don McAdoo and my uncle again, Andy Brown was with us. Had an opportunity. We got through their songbook and we found a song. That's a beautiful song. We practiced it and we did it. You know, I love harmony. Since I was a little kid, my grandmother, you know, sat me down at the piano and she'd try to teach me a part and I'd sing along with it. She'd look at me with her glasses and shake her head. And I learned that way. You can ask my wife, you know, every song we sing, I can close my eyes and I can hear beautiful melodies. We began singing the song. I was careful because the part I was going to sing was a little low. And if we didn't start out just right, I wouldn't be able to get all my notes. I played most of them, but I couldn't hit them all. My uncle was our lead singer. And we started off.
didn't want it. We belong to my country. I went where we ought to be. Can you say? All through this song.
You know, you'd think I'd give up after one verse. But I didn't. I sang the whole song, and he stayed right where he was at, and I stayed right where I was at. Because I knew I was right. If he would have got up there, I could have done it. Like it should have been done.
In fact, the other day I was over Bonnie Page talking about my great-grandfather and said, I hated driving with him. He always thought he was right. Everywhere we went, driving, you know, he always thought he did everything right and scared me to death. Bob Hager said, what's the name of the DNA? He's a good friend of mine. Well, I thought I was right. Because I was so sure I forgot all about the fact that I was there to sing on and praise the Lord to me. And the Lord of Lords, and I made something that was made to praise and honor to me, something that I had to prove. I've had plenty of time to repent of that. But isn't it like this? How often we are like this. I could have pardoned my family. I could have lived something beautiful. I would have had time to think about what I was thinking. But I was more, it was more important to me to find a new life. This is a dangerous thing. I find it right here. I find it when we gather together to decide that we're so sure of our lives. I guess I've learned more and more to ask, and thanks to the good men that I serve with, how many parts of my life. How many times I make a decision, and how many people shake their hands and say, I'm not sure that was the wisest way. You know, always help me with it. I praise you for that. There's a scripture that tells me. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He says in another place, in 3 Nephi 5:12, he says, I am the light of the world. The speaker asked us in Phoenix not long ago, do you think you have a greater life? Do you think your light is greater? Do you think that you can look at the Word of God and that's an all life. There's a separate path he made for you to get to the goal of salvation. So you can walk the way. I think about it every time I have to deal with people that have conflicts. They don't want to do what the scriptures say. I hear some say, oh, time will heal. I have too many examples in my life where time is never needed. Some people, I even fear they might be lost because they don't believe in God. They heal their problem with another person. It doesn't heal. It never has. And I find this is part of being lukewarm. We often set aside the things of God to pursue our own way. My way is better. I wish I could show to you some specific examples that I can't do. I see my brothers and sisters in this world. Do you understand how come they have so many problems? And it's because every time somebody tries to tell them, this is for me, they might be a good thing. God's really wants to be a good thing. We need to try to find God's way. It is the only way. He is the pure way. If you decide to walk in your way, you bend, you worship down to the altar yourself. That thing we were warned about, that the perilous times would do to us, reduce us. When we think of ourselves more than we do the Son of God of His world. Another thing with this ship is working. You know, when I go to somebody and say, you know, the car's going to be like, well, I would have done it. And where did that start? You know, where did that end at the beginning? You and I, you know, mankind came on the threshold. God created Adam and Eve.
forbidden fruit. Eve partook of it, gave it to Adam. And God came a calling. That's where they were from the start. You know? The Lord God only has God. What do you say? Well, for the woman he gave me, she gave me that stuff to you. He took it. He knew what it was. He knew what the commandment was. But it was her fault. And you know what did she say? There is a snake, and it's kind of strange. I've never seen one talk before, and he told me it was okay. It wasn't even her fault. How often you and I are like this, you know? We can't take responsibility for decisions we make. Guess that's one thing I've been learning as a pastor. When you make a decision, everybody holds you responsible. And I can't get out. I can't blame you for it. But it's like me. It's like you. It's a call to lukewarm. This humility that's often been talked about and talked to us in sermons about. How important it is. It's important because that part of that barrier we have to break. We have to take responsibility. That's what makes us humble. When we walk in error, we have to take responsibility for our error. I'd like to talk about some specific things. To point out to me when I feel the Lord, the message that He's giving to me. I'd like to talk to you about our kids. Well, you've heard it all before. Is it a commandment? This is some of that self-justification we often hear about, that I told you about. We do it. We do it in our lack of attendance. 30:8-53, the words of Christ. It says, and behold, ye shall meet together often. Sounds like a commandment. Sounds like it came from the Lord Himself. What happens when we break the commandment? What's it called? What's it called? Sin. How many times do we stay home and don't think about that? I want to tell you why you need to do it. Actually, the Word of God tells you why. Hebrews 10:24. I'm going to read this one. It says, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Consider one another. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. Well, is some of that new? Is it new? Do we find ourselves forsaking the assembling of ourselves together? I'm not here to judge you. You have to judge yourself. You know where you are. You know why you do what you do. But exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sins. The Word of God. I desire to reason with you on this. Make it somewhat practical. Why is this so important? We heard in the service prior, several have talked about the fact that you and I are light in the world. We are light in the world. Some of the scriptures say, we are also the salt of the earth. Exactly what he was going to do. He was going to take the candlestick. The candlestick represents of the church. Because they left their first love. Who's that first love supposed to be? Matthew 22, 37, 38 says, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy heart." This is the first and great commandment. Consider for a moment. I remember how I felt. 1986, 1987, there was a particular young lady that had caught the wolf in the night. It lived in my eyes. You know, every time I came back to Missouri, every opportunity I had, I never was here. Do you believe that? Can you hear me? The parents wish I wasn't there. Life is fair. It came down to our house a few weeks ago for a few minutes. You know, there's a guy who's lost. Couldn't get him out of my house. He was always there. You know, they asked me to do the marriage service this morning. And if she'd come down to my house, and I never saw her, because he was out snooping around with some other women, I'd tell him no. What if you didn't do this first place? Have you forgot who she is? Have you forgot the promise that's in the Holy Scriptures that says that two or three are met together, there I am in the midst of you? We have to die. And I hope you think about it every time you sit home and self-justify yourself and sit there with a sin of the Lord is going on. I hope you consider that hope and ask yourself to do it. Who do you serve at the moment? Who do you hang out? No, I hope we find also that we have been faithful to this year. Oftentimes they come and some of us aren't there. I'm not speaking of Christ as a Christian. I work every Thursday Sunday, I can't do that. But when the doors of that church are open, my congregation expects to see you sitting there. And it's the same thing the Lord gave to you and I as a minister. We have a responsibility. And if the services of the Lord are important enough for us to go to, how do you expect to be important for us? Think of that word that was in that crossroads, causing us mistrust. How do you suppose that? The reality. Do you suppose that our people, if they look at us, in our example is it so that they can have an opportunity? I know that because I've heard people say it. Look at those people out there that are looking at you as a shepherd. We have a responsibility. Give an example. I said I listened to your song a couple times. We sang the song near to the heart of the shepherd. I know my life changed as one of my two pastors, but it's been a little bit different. And I think not to that opportunity. Because there's a lot of times I look at the people who just trust this people. And I see them in the room and do my life. Someone's got to do it. Somebody's got to be out there trying to heal. We have the responsibility of shepherds. God uses them. He requires them.
when you do these wonderful, to stand in the gospel of obedience. If I feel like it.
I don't know if I feel like it tomorrow, I think I'll go to church, you know? One thing we tell our young people is when you can't, even if it's the lowest level, you can never judge right or wrong about it. Because your feelings change. Tomorrow, you're going to feel differently. You can't judge things by feelings. And yet, how often do you do? That's how we feel. The Lord didn't bring to us the gospel of the kingdom. And if you desire those things that I hear us crying for, the gift of the Spirit. And yet the scriptures tell us that what Jesus said. He's the evil one for those who know God. And then we've got a long way to go. Well, we're going to keep our God. People that are repentant and humble. Not walking our own way. We're seeking our own path. But the path of God. I had a moment of joy. As I said, I listened to a little child. The little girl sitting over here in the song of the she called the song of the Lord. Let us go to the house of the Lord. The Lord gives the gospel, the Lord will have the heart. Sometimes the Lord is. We didn't want to see that song as we go. Because of her life is so expensive. Because it's a good example to the brothers and sisters. I find that we not only sin if we don't come, I want to throw that right away to you. You parents, you fathers, they have. Ephesians 6:4. You read Don Matthew's article on Zion's Advocate. You have a responsibility to your children. To raise them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And what better place to do it than where He's expected to be? What better place to go than a Sunday school class where they can hear about the Spirit? We wonder about our problems. We cry over our children. We have opportunity to help make great inroads in their life. And how often we're going to sit there on the side. Because we want to do what we want. We don't want to take the time out. We're too busy. We want to do something else. The thought of this world. I say this to people I know are good. They have it. They have this potential. The people I look at say, look at this. Turn off their back. We'll think of that. Brother saw in that vision. Some of us in the Church of Christ walking around. Guarded. But we're not walking. Why did the Lord need to be born? Because it's plain what we need. He'd rather there was a definite difference. Like a place to be comfortable. He doesn't know why I have a reason why I go through it. He doesn't do this why I have a reason why. They feel in our conflict. Oh, they don't want to make peace with me. Well, what don't you have to make peace? You're a peacemaker. You have your responsibility. One more thing I decided to talk to you about. Much of it to talk about. felt the Spirit of God in the sermons that were delivered. I'd like to talk about unity. We heard it last night. We talked about unity. I've heard for years, I suppose. I've been telling years since 1980. I'm ready to make it. I see our striving, our desires, our abilities. And yet, as I get out and talk to our people many times, I find hope in this family. I had the question written down for me. I've often heard the time to time, I've heard statements from God. Because we don't know what we've all been doing. I've looked really hard to find the one that's 15 now. And I find it there all the time. Christ is a good God. He can't be united. You know, there's one thing that makes us different in the Church of Christ from the other groups of the Restoration. And that is that we find in Ephesians, the first chapter, 3 verses 15 and 23, that God gave us to Christ to be the head of the church of all things. We in the Church of Christ, we don't have a good presidency. Why? Because Christ is the head, and he never relinquished it to anybody. He didn't give a certain man the right to be the head. He received it as his God. It was his. It's still his. We find in the scriptures that's different than the opinions of the church. In the New Testament church, there were differences of opinion. We find one in we begin, actually, I'm not going to read it, but I'm going to recall these two opinions. The church had a conflict over certain issues. Who resolved it? You know who resolved it? The head of the church resolved it. He gave Peter a vision. And you can read about that vision in the 10th chapter of Acts. He gave Peter a vision. And he showed Peter the vision that he called to the Gentiles. He showed Peter that he gave him the Holy Spirit, just like he had to Jesus. And when they came together to meet on this particular thing in Acts, the 15th chapter, it was because of these experiences that the head of the church. It did. But there will be God. Ahead of time. I'm not trying to take away. You know what we read in Revelation, the 12th chapter, is that when the things that John saw, he said, God found the 12 stars. I want you to know that there is an answer to the church. And that there is Jesus Christ. Never knew the church. And you and I are far, much farther ahead than we realize. But it's not you and I to do this to you. Not me. I can't make the proper decision. I've been told that many times. Sure. I try. The third book of Nephi, chapter 12, verses 12 through 18, we find that there was disputations in the church about the Lord. That's no big deal to us anymore. That's no big deal. We don't know what the name of the church is. But we know what it is because the church had a problem with it. The disciples gathered together to fast and pray. In mighty prayer and fasting, in Christ's name, and he sent the church. You know what's interesting to me? I have no doubt that some of those years will be here to God. They will give you up the answer. To think about the fact that you're not always right,
He is not. And we have need for the Holy Spirit. Somebody is not. That's our problem.
There's no room for Him to give us anything else.
That's the way I'm doing for my own cause. I need to be wrong.
The Lord can be wrong. He will. He will teach you. The Lord will walk against His sword. He must make the effort. You know. We have before us many things. So we can do it. If you're one that has justified yourself and stay away from church, you can make the answer. You can change. I love the challenge that a brother gave to us. I apologize. You know what I'm saying? If you want to see me change your name, I heard one of my first brother that spoke to us, and I feel by the power of God, and Lord said, you can do all right, if we want this to come here. If we have an attitude that isn't sincere, if people can't come in here, you know, if we come in here to those that are the light of the world, the salt of the earth, and have a congregation of 300, there's only 50 cities here, something's wrong about that life. It is in full strength where it is weak. We are the church of Christ. You represent the church. When you stay home, when you choose to stay home, what kind of representation are you giving? There's another thing I thought of. How many of you have a calendar? How many of you? Raise your hand. I want to see it. How many of you carry them around? A good number of you. I need to take time to do something here. You know, when you sit at home, play games with my family, that's not bad.
spend a lot of time and do the wrong thing. You forget about it. You know, there's a lot of things you can do out there.
I'm busy from day to day because I have many chores. I take my calendar to church with me. And I never leave church. It seems like until my calendar is full. Somebody comes to me, I'd love to see you. Oh, what are talking about? Let's do it. But you want me? I've got some things I need to do. We have so much communication. And it doesn't take, it doesn't require any new adventure to move upon some of these communications, to be a better support for one another. When you see your brother doesn't come to church, call him up. He may have a very good group, maybe he's sick. He has an opportunity to pray for him. We had a brother that had a dream, and his dream stopped. He walked around the church, he looked big holes in the ground, and waited for justice. He saw some of our people down there in those holes. One family came to buy a Jewish Christmas, you know that? Didn't it? You know, the family had to buy a Jewish Christmas. Some of the family planted beans, some of the family dressed up in it. You know, they came. You get here some beans. You are aware. Are you aware of where you are? Are you aware of how much time you spend in these times you can do this?
Actually having something written down on the pages of your life is beautiful.
Something you did for somebody else or not yourself. Or sometimes too, studying the Word of God. I want to continue on verse 17. The word of the Lord to the church of Christ. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increase with good, and have need of nothing, and knowest not, and thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and wandering in misery. I've seen you.
He knows what we are. He knows where we stand. And he's given us an opportunity to buy something of great price. We need to be rich. He's called out to us to open our eyes and go to him. As many as I know, I am even chasing them. He's jealous there to open the door. When I heard another call, you are in the pit. We need to do those things that he's called us to do. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will suffer him and he will be. What is it that he's called us to do? Come to God. Don't we contend with the crumbs on the floor? How often are we? We're content. Content with what we have. There's a price. It's not hard to reach. The reward is great. He wants you to pull up the chair and sit at the table and tell us. Even though we're coming to where we're to sit in our throne, even as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. And a half a year, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. Are your ears open? Have you heard his cry? Is it you who can do it? It is the Father's beautiful preaching.
I felt the power of the Spirit when it came to me, and I saw myself preaching.
I see the Bible looking for us.
You probably learned this about yourself. This last few life.
Take away from the world.
Strive for God. Think about your first love. I was reading the Zion's Advocate. A brother. An apostle. One of those guys in Ephesians talked about that is supposed to help us.
Edify us.
Bring us to the unity of Christ.
Remind us.
He reminded us, we have some differences when we talked about it last week.
Oh, that's marvelous.
But it's going to come shortly. He reminded us what the scripture reminded us. For this example, he stayed right by his prayer and fasting. He launched us to do so. To apply the ability. You know, sometimes on the radio, I talk about it many times when we work with you. You want to put a big board up here? And you want to say, sign your name on the bottom line if you're willing to do this. If you're willing to stand up and give a testimony, sign your name, make a contract with God. Are you willing to look at your life? Be honest. It wouldn't be indecisive, but the sign right in your mind by the good word of God. That clear as day. On May 18th, all we have brought to count, Phoenix Falls Church of Christ, as many as desire to come, are going to be the very fact. I want you. Lift up your arms and pray. God will help us. Our sheep are wandering around on the waste of time, time and time. We get frustrated. We keep going in a circle. We cry and desire. It's time to lay our desires on the Lord. Do you really desire? Are you like?
I invite you to be here, I guess.
To fast and pray for the needs of the church. As we need to consider our problems. As we need to consider the problems in our marriages and how we can help. What we can do to strengthen them. What we can do to prevent them. What we can do about our differences as we consider. I'm not going to ask you to sign your name. I'm going to invite you to join with us. So all you have to tell me is that I'm going to be taken out and write it down. You pastors, I hope that you'll give the opportunity to congregate those that will meet. It's time that we're called to that higher level. It's time that we get serious about being the life in which we live. It's time that we consider the perils. If we look and find that our strength has been reduced, we quit justifying ourselves. But then we know it. Our own conscience tells us half the time to go on. I need this to be taught to you. I hope I haven't been too hard. And I really hope I haven't been too. I hope I taught the truth enough to everyone on the side. So I need to say this to you as I felt this word upon me. I look forward to when I see you again. I'll be going home shortly. Remember our first time. You
There's a song we heard in Phoenix not long ago. I was particularly touched with the words. How beautiful the radiant light, the lights of our world, with his life.
Thank you.